Hello and welcome. We are Restoration Church in beautiful Prescott, Arizona. Thank you for joining us. My name is Nate Huss, and I am stoked you are tuning in to our teaching of the week. If you are new, so glad you found us. If you haven't already and would like to learn a little bit more about us, jump over to restorationaz.org. All right, let's grab our Bibles and dive into this week's teaching.
Excited about today. We have Kyle Meister with us, who's the headmaster of Trinity Christian School here in town. And I really just come to deeply enjoy my friendship and relationship with Kyle. I get to learn a lot from him and in our dialogues and collaboration. And as we were just discussing things in the past number of months, this series came from him, and I decided it would be great to have him with us. I did the easy work last week, and then we left the two hardest conversations for him. So with that in mind, will you please welcome Kyle up?
Yes, thank you for that introduction. It's an honor to be with you again. I get to step outside my normal context, and my normal context is speaking to junior high and high school students. So it's an honor to talk to some adults. So thank you. Thanks for having me here. It's a joy to be with you and to work to be faithful to what God has placed on our hearts in our conversation the last couple of months. So let me pray and we'll get started. Father, we praise you for who you are. And we just take a moment and recognize that we're all here in a context. We all have things happening in our lives. We have relationships we're navigating. We have tensions we're walking through. We have things that perhaps we're celebrating. Some of us have things that we're walking through suffering, some great suffering. So Father, in that context, we're here now to feed on your word. And so Holy Spirit, would you focus us here to be present, to give attention to what your spirit wants to say to us today. We desperately need your wisdom, Father. And we look forward to enjoying that. Jesus, we acknowledge your presence. You told us you would always be with us. So we use our holy imagination to remember that truth, that you are here with us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are times when you build something, you put something together, you plan something, and then at the end of that, or towards the conclusion of that, what comes out is not at all what you expected. How many of you have experienced that, building something? Yes, so when I graduated from college, I was a philosophy major, and I don't know if you know what you do when you graduate from college with a philosophy degree. In my case, you work at a hotel. In the late night shift. And then in the morning, you substitute teach. So I was substitute teaching, and I got my first call, Mesa Public Schools. Hey, would you come teach early learner kindergarten? Sure, I've got a philosophy degree. That'll fit, right? That's four-year-olds, for those of you who don't know, who are not yet five, in September, right? So I come in, and I meet the aide, and I greet them and they greet me, and I see this really great lesson plan. I am excited. I'm ready. I've got all this wonderful vocabulary that I've learned the last 4 years, reading really hard books and thinking difficult philosophical topics, and I'm ready for these little guys. So they're sitting on the carpet in front of me, and I say to them, let's start with something easy. Can someone tell me something you're learning that your teacher's teaching you right now? And I don't know if you know, but when you ask an open-ended question of preschoolers, every hand, right? So I call on this little girl, and she says, I had cereal for breakfast today. Okay, all right, no. So I back up, right? Start thinking like, all right, so no, what I mean, that's wonderful, so awesome. Can you tell me something that your teachers taught you here at school, like here? I go like this, here, and I thought that would be helpful. Every hand, call on this another little girl. I like Barbie. Okay. Now at this point, the failure is just continuing, right? So, but I keep my composure. I regroup. Okay. Okay. No, guys, it's awesome. You had cereal, Barbie, cool, good stuff. Look around the room. Do you see the things on the walls? Do you see some things up here behind me? Can someone tell me something your teacher's talking to you about? Oh, okay, every hand goes up. I bravely called on this little boy. I had cereal for breakfast today too. And so then I just gave up. And at the end of the day, I decided that wasn't my career path to work with kindergartners. But I think, as we think about that, I think that's some of what happens in the Christian life. And that's what this series is all about. It's about looking carefully at the gospel that we came into Christianity with. What is the truth of the good news that are the controlling beliefs for us that brought us into Christianity? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes things pop out of me that doesn't seem like I'm living the gospel. Every now and then, well, maybe more often than every now and then, you could ask my wife after the service, things come out of me and I think, where did that come from? Now, before we continue down this road, I thought I'd start with the punchline. Looking at John chapter 7, Jesus is giving his vision. Just want to look at a couple passages. This is Jesus' vision for his people. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. Rivers of living water flowing out of our hearts. As we believe in Jesus, that is the descriptor that Jesus, that's the promise that God has given us. Let's go on. John chapter 15. Let's look at one more passage here. John chapter 15. As the Father has loved, this is verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Streams of living water flowing from our hearts, abiding in his love such that joy is full. Does that describe your experience of the Christian life? Maybe look back over the last week or the last month or the last 3 months. Would that be the descriptor of how life's going for you? Streams of living water flowing from your heart, abiding in love with joy. These are the types of things that Jesus describes as available to his followers. So the question I ask is, how do we position ourselves to more regularly have this be our experience? Or can we? Can we do that? Could it be that we need to re-examine what gospel we believe? Or another way of asking this, Landon talked last week about Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So what is that Christian life that Jesus is offering? And how do we access it? Can we think about that today? What is this good news? And so the thesis for this whole series is this: by examining our understanding of the good news that Jesus came to proclaim, we have an opportunity for personal growth, a deepening of our experience with God, and perhaps even a wisdom that can be shared with others. That's the goal. Let's take a minute, just like that naive 22-year-old who tried to teach 4-year-olds needed to back up and rethink his priorities in life. Maybe we ought to back up and rethink the gospel together. So, as we do that, we want to look at what Jesus says. Last week, we discussed this transactional nature of the gospel. The idea that when you come to Jesus, you have your sins forgiven. He died on the cross for your sins. When you put faith in him and trust in him for that, that he rose again on the third day, defeated death, he gives you a ticket to heaven. And that's true. But then we also talked about the idea that there's still a now. What do we do with that? What's our salvation for? So we're looking at things that are true, but not the whole story, right? And so we might be tempted to think that once we are saved, the answer is what I'll call the gospel of church going or spiritual activity. That somehow, now that we're saved, we're on Team Jesus, let's get busy. Let's get started, right? So we might think that we know that Jesus wants us to follow him, so we stop cussing and drinking. We give up smoking and watching things we shouldn't. Okay, good, check. We know that Jesus wants us to be with his people, so we go to church. We might even send our kids to a Christian school and maybe even get involved in a small group or a practice, like Landon just mentioned. We know that we need to read our Bible, so we start a quiet time or devotions. Maybe even we read through the Bible in a whole year. We listen to podcasts, maybe even during the week, and sermons. We're getting filled with this knowledge. We know that Jesus wants us to serve him, so we might even find a way to serve in kids' ministry or at a soup kitchen or volunteer at a shelter. We know that Jesus wants us to get working on being salt and light, and so we might take an evangelism class, or we might learn how to share our faith and start actually sharing the gospel with our neighbors. And these are all good things. Please don't hear me. Pastor Landon might be like, okay, he's never welcome back because he just tore down everything we do. That's not the point. These are really, really good things. Let's keep doing them. Praise the Lord. But let's pause for just a minute and think about how Jesus thought about these things. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is very careful about this inside-outside issue. What comes out of us ought to be the fruit. That we ought to look at humans like trees. That what's going on inside of you will naturally come out as fruit. And so, you imagine you came home and your kids are in the backyard or your spouse or a friend is in the backyard and they've got this bucket of peaches they've bought. They went to the store and bought a bucket of peaches and they took this tree and they've got the duct tape and the staple gun and they're just like wrapping peaches onto the tree and stapling them and then putting another peach and stapling them. That's what happens when we put activity before something else. When we run to that culture of activity, we don't build a culture of life and joy, such as streams of living water are flowing from us. We build a culture of exhaustion. Now, I speak to you not as somebody who's got this all figured out. I speak to you as somebody who's, you know, I grew up in the church, got saved when I was five, went to Christian school, went to Christian college, have run a Christian school for 21 years, been in the church serving for that long. So I know what I'm talking about. This culture of spiritual activity is exhausting. And it builds guilt because there's never enough you can do. We can never do enough. There's always more to do. There's always another Bible study. There's always another great preacher. There's always another person who needs prayer. There's always another meal to make. There's never an end to it. And then sometimes we even exalt those who do the most and we start this comparison thing, right? And this gospel of church going or spiritual activity will also give us a healthy dose of self-righteousness on the side. So I want you to just pause for a moment. I've said a lot. Just listen to this key to the kingdom. The key to the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, is that God wants to be with you. Period. Or better put, God wants to be with us and for us to be with him. Period. God's not just looking for soldiers to do the work. He actually wants to be with us. He wants us to be with him. He values you not for what you can do for him, but because you are his. Period. Now, I'm going to just pause for a minute, and I want you to just take a minute and let that soak in. We've said a lot, just right through it all. I'm going to give you just 30 seconds to 45 seconds, maybe talk to someone next to you, or just sit there quietly and think about this for a minute. What have you heard? Think about that for just a moment. So all the things that we mentioned before, all of this activity, all of the fruit that comes from a life with Christ are really, really good things. They're really, really good things. But they're a means to an end, not the end in themselves. They're a means to an end, not the end in themselves. We can't earn any more love from God. He loves us just right now as we are. You cannot, there are no points for church attendance or more Bible verses, or I can quote this many sermons. There's no stars on a chart. He just wants to be with us. And sometimes when we're in church, sometimes when we're around Christian people a lot, we lose sight of that. Sometimes we just, everything becomes more and more. I need more activity, more things. And we lose sight of the fact that God just wants to be with us. In fact, you might even see the story of Scripture through that lens. You might even hear the story of Scripture told that way. Here's this beautiful Trinitarian community of God. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit loving each other from eternity past. And then because they can't help themselves but love, they choose one day to make us so that they can love more. And then through sin and all those things, things get broken down. But then the story of the Scripture is God continuing to attempt to work to be with us. That's what the tabernacle is about. That's what the Torah is about. That's what the prophets are about. That's what the kings are about. That's what Jesus coming is about. Emmanuel, God with us. God wants to be with us, period. He's not calling you because of everything you can do for him. He's calling you because he loves you. You are valued not for what you do or don't do. You're valued because you're his. So if your version of the good news of the gospel is not dripping with the understanding of deep fellowship with God at the center, then you don't have the gospel of the kingdom. You have a gospel that will lead you to exhaustion, pride, guilt, and shame. And I stand here as someone who's recovering from the gospel of spiritual activity. I'm still trying to scrub the S off my chest because I think I'm the one who's going to save these kids. I'm still pulling myself off the cross because I want to save every family in my school. And God is saying, come and be with me. Come and be with me. Take on my yoke, for it is easy. Let's do this together. Rather than you just kind of, sometimes I think we think of Christianity as almost like a race car driving. We go out on the track and we run our laps, and then every now and then we come in for a pit stop with Jesus. And he's saying, hello, can I drive with you? Can you stop and stop driving for a while? Stop longer than a pit stop and be with me. John chapter 17, listen to Jesus' words about this. Last week, Landon pointed out that in John earlier, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life. God gives us a life. Here's what Jesus says that life is. And this is eternal life, that you pray a prayer and then get busy telling everyone about me. Oh, wait, yours doesn't say that? Let's try that again. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life has started now because Jesus has invited you to know him and to know his Father. Because that's what eternal life is. The best thing in heaven waiting for us is not, there's no more sin. It's God. He's there. The best thing about heaven is Jesus. And we get to be with him forever. Not only did the beginning of the story start with the relationship with the Trinity, not only did the middle of the story go with Jesus coming to be with us, the end of the story is us being with him in a marriage forever. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Any other gospel is exhausting. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Let's go on in John chapter 17, verse 20. Jesus says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us, guys. Jesus is having kind of this farewell address, but it's in the form of a prayer to the Father so that they could see what it's like to love God. And he says, I don't ask only for these who are here, but even for those who will believe because of their word. That's us. We believe because the disciples shared the word with us, right? So I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through the word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Did you catch that? I don't know about you, but remember growing, some of you grew up in the church. Do you remember like the hardest thing to explain and understand was the Trinity? People try like all kinds of backflips with like eggs and clovers and all kinds of interesting ideas, and none of them are any good. That deep intimacy that's at the core of the reality in which we live between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is not only something for us to learn about, but Jesus is blowing us away by saying, come on, I want you to be a part of this with us. That they may be in us as I am in you, he says. He goes on to say this. He says, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love me, or love them even as you love me. Jesus is even hinging how people will know about him on this. At the core of what Jesus wants for the world is he wants the world to see that we are in relationship with him just like he is with the Father. I don't know about you guys, but that blows my mind. I spent so much time in a tradition of the church that focused on what we would be like without God, or what we're like without God, being separated and how bad we were, how much we needed him, instead of remembering that we're not without him. We're actually with him. He's inviting us to this incredible oneness. And not in some weird like New Age screed, right? This is actual reality Jesus wants for us. The same oneness that the Father and the Son have, he's inviting us into. Father, would you let that wash over us? Wash that through us right now, the love that you have that you're wanting for us to experience with you. Why does God want this? To use his language, why does he want us to be one with him? So that the world will know that he loves us. What does he want? Why does he want that? So that they'll come to him. And why does he want that? So that he can love them and transform them. And don't miss this. When God moves into a life to love you, he wants you to love him on his terms. That's called transformation. He wants to transform us. Why does he want to transform us? So that we can be with him in his kingdom forever. In fact, you can look at these motifs throughout the scriptures. There's a motif of God as a husband, who he's literally beating on the door of the nation of Israel while the nation of Israel is inside being unfaithful, saying, come back to me. You can see it as a motif as a father, or even as the scripture says, a mother who wants to collect the hens under his wings. The Father loves us and wants to be with us. That's the story written in the stars. That's the story that is being told. That's what it's all about. And so, does your understanding of the gospel have that at the center? Do you see how if we start there, then we can move into activity from a much better place? I live with some perfectionists in my house. Do you see how that's a solution for them? To come and be with Jesus, to stop needing to have to do certain things? They happen to live with a guy who struggles with self-righteousness. You see how that's a solution for him? Because he can come and be with God, and he doesn't need to try to be something that he's not. He just needs to be all in with him. So this transformation, we don't have a lot of time on this. I just want to touch on it briefly. Jesus wants us to be transformed. He says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, it says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He calls us to see the kingdom. By the way, he uses the kingdom. The words kingdom and father appear most on Jesus' lips almost than anything else. So that's worth at least noting in this sermon series. But he invites us into the kingdom, but he does so first by saying, look, I know you've already got some things in your hands. You got to put those down. I have something even better. So repent. Metanoia, change your mind. Change your belief. Change the controlling operating system and accept the kingdom of God. Transformation. And I'll just three little sub-points on transformation, just give you something to think about. Transformation means that we repent of our sin and we practice that. We just regularly become the kind of people who praise God when someone points out a sin or when we see it, because then we can have a chance to repent of it. We also become the kind of people who forgive. We just learn how to forgive because of how forgiven we are. Becomes part of our operating system. And lastly, we go to God to ask him to reorder our loves, to reorder our affections. Would you teach me how to love the things that you love in the right way, to the right degree? And would you teach me not to love the things I ought not love? That's transformation. So what is it that the world longs for and needs to see, according to Jesus? How will they know? They need to see transformed lovers of God who love each other in his love, by his love, and through his love. That's what my students need more than anything else from all of us, is they need to see living examples of transformed lovers of God. Another way of putting this is that through the gospel of the kingdom, we are invited to enjoy the with God life, with others who are partaking in the with God life. It's not just God in the spiritual places, church and quiet time. It's with God all day long, everywhere. That's the life he's inviting us to. Jesus said, I'll always be with you. So he's here. You might as well acknowledge him, right? Everywhere. So through the gospel of the kingdom, we back up from this gospel of activity that just goes faster and faster and faster and faster, and we keep going, and we get all busy, and that's how we measure our spirituality. We pause, and we say, hold on. Let me back up. Yes, I want to act. Yes, I want to be involved in bearing fruit. But you know, one of the key times in my ministry walk at Trinity, I was facing some very difficult things. I was thinking we might even lose the school. And I remember kneeling on the sidewalk and tears began to well up in my eyes. And I said, God, please don't take this place. And you know what he whispered to my heart? Kyle, apart from me, you can do nothing. You're right. Forgive me, Father. So apart from me, you can do nothing. This realization that being with him before we go and work for him is so critical for us in an age that wants to just be obsessed with activism and justice. Let's have that conversation. Let's get active. But can we pause and be with Father first and be transformed by him before we go out? Can we let that be the fuel? So as we look at these gospels, the idea is that we've moved last week from the ticket to heaven, look, the idea of a transaction, to the idea that eternal life has started now. Eternal life has started right now. Do you know that your relationship with Father is something that you're going to enjoy for eternity? You take, like, who you are goes with you forever. It just gets better and better and better. So it's not just waiting for that ticket to heaven, waiting for that next thing and the sweet by and by, Jesus will end it all and then I'll be able to go do something. No, it started now. So lean into his kingdom. Say, what would you have me do now? It also moves us from a priority on activity to a priority on relational intimacy. Activity follows relationship, not before. Okay. And then it also moves us from knowledge about God to heart transformation with God. Do you know you can sit in church for 40 years and still be a jerk? It's possible, right? But you know what? I'll be honest with you. I am sick and tired of seeing those kind of Christians. We don't need any more halfway Christianity put in front of our young people. We need people who will be humble, willing to admit their faults, who will say, you know what? I need Jesus. I need to spend more time with him. Do you know I'll call it a barometer in my life. When I start to lean into controlling the people in my life, or when I start losing joy in my life, there's a little barometer in me that says, hey, you need to go spend some time with Father. You need to go abide in the vine and be transformed and bring your whole heart to him. Because it's not about what you can do for him. It's about being with him and being loved by him and then just letting that overflow. And that will be what will attract the world to our God. So as I close here, I just want to end here with the now what. What do I do with all this? Thanks, Maestri. That was a deep dive into all this stuff. But what do I do? What are you supposed to do? Let's say this touched you. These are just my three suggestions for you to think about. And I'd be happy to talk to you more about this if you so desire, about the journey I'm on with it too. The first one is seek to know and love God as a person rather than a system. And can I just say this? Moms and dads, give that to your kids. That God is a person, not a system of rules. not merely activities and rules, but a person who we know, who loves us, who cries with us, who meets with us, who celebrates with us, who is with us when we're watching Netflix, who is with us when we're at the soccer game, who is with us when we're bored. He is with us. And so spend time with the Father away from the crowds in order to know how to give that away to the little ones. They need that. They need that. They need us to be transformed. Secondly, bring him your whole self for transformation. Bring him your whole self for transformation. I'm a huge fan of Peter Scazzaro's work. Go check it out. Go check it out. Peter Scazzaro's work on emotionally healthy spirituality. There's too many of us that are hanging around. We have a gospel. This is another sermon, but we have a gospel of association rather than apprenticeship to Jesus. Let's not associate with the church. Let's not associate with God. Let's go and be with him to learn from him how to live life and be transformed by him. Don't hide any part of yourself from him. And lastly, take him when you go everywhere, not just the churchy places. Think about him with your finances. Think about him with your marriage. Think about him with your internet searches. Think about him with your free time. Bring him with you in everything. The with God life is what he's invited us into. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Not just the let's get active and then every now and then we'll stop in and practice vampire Christianity where we just take a little bit of his blood and move on. Right? Instead, let's be with God, invite him and cultivate his presence everywhere we go. I pray that for all of us. Let me close this in prayer. Father, thank you for meeting us here. Thank you that you are a God who wants to be with us so much so that you gave us your Son. Thank you that you have invited us to live a life with you, with purpose, with meaning, but also with deep, deep love and fellowship that meets the longings of our heart. So would you teach us how to love the way that you love? Would you transform us? Would you slow us down long enough to be with you, Daddy? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for tuning in to our teaching of the week. We are so grateful to partner with you in sharing the love of Jesus in a world that really deeply longs for it. And whether you're new here, seeking more information, looking for a church community, or considering financial partnership, go ahead and visit restorationaz.org for more details. Okay, let's continue making a difference together. So how do we do that? By remembering Jesus is the only one who is trustworthy always, no matter the moment. So press on as we continue to practice the way of Jesus.